The White House is taking a bigger interest in the nuts and bolts of government management these days. One piece of evidence, the General Services Administration's Federal Acquisition Service has visited the Oval Office itself twice over the past few weeks. In his biweekly feature, Inside the Reporter's Notebook, Executive Editor Jason Miller writes about what's going on. He joins me now to discuss further. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right. So first of all, is it so that the acquisition functionaries actually met with El Presidente himself?
Yes, actually, it is very much true. In fact, it wasn't just the acquisition executives. It was, as far as I know, Deputy Commissioner of Federal Acquisition Service, Kevin Yule Page, as well as Laura Stanton, who is actually leading the Common Acquisition Platform Environment development. So it was even some of the, you know, SESers slash high level, you know, not the very top, but the medium top, if you will. And this is a big deal. I mean, this is not just, oh, let's shake their hand and move on. I mean, this was a real substantial meeting, according to Tom Sharp, who was speaking Friday at the Professional Services Council. Now, Sharp says basically they were there to talk about the category management, the Common Acquisition Platform, which are two big initiatives coming out, not just of GSA, but from the Office of Federal Procurement Policy. And then they went back again on Monday to talk more about how the Federal Acquisition Service could help federal agencies be smarter in terms of how they spend procurement dollars.
All right, so this is kind of a return to the very beginning of the administration in some ways when they were looking for ways to knock down the cost of procurement and also the procurement amounts themselves.
Well, I think this is a continuation. I think that now that you have a permanent OFPP administrator in there, obviously there was some time in there between Joe Jordan and Ann Rung, and I think that you have some, you know, GSA is considered to be quote-unquote fixed. And now, you know, I think there's some people argue that they never were really that broken in the first place, but I think that there's more confidence from the administration and the leadership within GSA between, even though Dan Tangerlini's last day is this week, you still have some solid leaders in there, from Tom Sharp to Norman Dong in the Public Building Service to many of the other SESers. And I think that's where that confidence is building. And Ann coming from GSA over to OFPP, I think, is really kind of bringing it all together.
All right. So to you, this looks like a general commitment increase by the administration to improving government management.
Yeah, I think the biggest difference is not so much that they are talked about procurement. They talk about procurement a lot, but I think the fact is that you saw people go to the Oval Office, talk with the president and his staff about something as mundane, I think, as you said, the nuts and bolts of federal procurement, and realizing how important this is. Now, this administration came in, I think, talking a great line. We are going to have a chief performance officer. We're going to really focus on management. We're going to make government work. And I think for the most part, they've fallen short on those goals. Now, they're not easy goals. I'm not going to dismiss that fact. But I think having the team in place that they have now, Beth Colbert being the deputy director for management at OMB, and then everything kind of moving from, you know, kind of coming off of her vision, her strategy, her goals, I think that's why this president is now focusing on a government management in a much different way than previously. I think the other piece of this, Tom, that's interesting is the focus on Congress from this administration is much different than it was earlier part of the administration. So if they want to make change, if they want to have that opportunity to have a lasting impact, institutionalize, whatever word you want to use, I think they're going to have to do it through changing the way the government works versus getting laws passed. Because obviously, as we know, Republicans hold the House, Republicans hold the Senate, there's a Democrat in the White House, and it's like, you know, oil and water, they only mix when you really move them together very quickly.
And then they don't stay mixed very long either. If you let them
exactly.
You got to pour them over the salad so you can see what's going on. Well, there's a lot of moving parts to what GSA is doing, and I kind of make an analogy between that and what is going on in cybersecurity. Last week, you reported an overhaul of how Homeland Security and the intelligence community are going about their cybersecurity various duties. And there are so many bureaus and so many initiatives that you really have to keep rereading it to stay on top of what's going on. The same thing in acquisition. In your story today, there's hallways, there's category management, there's this whole strategic sourcing initiative. I mean, maybe the White House is trying to make sure it understands how this all fits together. What is the architecture here?
Right. And I think, you know, part of what's happening with procurement is the White House set several goals in the very beginning. Now what they're doing is saying, we feel like we've gotten spend at least a little better under control. And now let's really use the the volume discounts, you know, that was where strategic sourcing came in. But let's really take data, and there's so much data out there, and let's make better decisions about how the government buys. And I think that's where this is coming from. And I think it's part of the evolution. You know, Tom, what always amazes me is someone has a vision and says, we're going to do A, then we're going to do B, and then we're going to do C, and eventually we'll do F and G and M and N. And it seems like that's the way they've been moving. Now, on purpose or by accident, I don't know. But it always impresses me, no matter which administration, no matter which CIO or which OFPP administrator or whomever, they seem to always have this path that they're going down. And in this case, for the federal procurement, the path now is again, using data to make better decisions through something called category management. And this is the idea of, we're going to manage IT hardware or IT software, something that every agency uses, or you know, in some cases, like medical supplies, the government spends so much money on through VA and the Defense Department and Indian Health Services and others, that they're saying, how can we better buy this in bulk, use the volume of the federal government to get even better prices? And I think that's where they're going down. So currently, there are 6 hallways open in GSA. There, by June, will be 17 total hallways. And in fact, at the PSC event on Friday, they walked us through a hallway. Now, the hallway is only open to federal employees, contracting officers that work for the government, not industry, not the public, not the press. But they did give us a walkthrough, and they are looking at, okay, how could we open this up to everybody else? And what's impressive is, there right now it's just a data warehouse, if you will. They have, you know, what contracts meet this specific hallway. So they gave us the example of professional services. And it's not just GSA contracts that they're listing, but all contracts. So if the Army has one, if the Air Force has one, if DOD, if DHS has one, that's listed in that hallway. And then they list in there who runs it, how much are the fees, what can you buy off it, when does it end, when does it begin, all the data that you'd ever think about that you'd want about a contract so you could make an informed decision. And then they also have statements of work, because one comment that Laura Stanton made during her presentation was, not everyone buys this type of whatever, this type of service, this type of IT hardware or software all the time. So when they do have to buy it, they may not be as familiar as you'd hope they would be. So they have statements of work and other best practices and resources that they could read up on before going out and doing market research and going through the whole process. So it's really just, here's a one place to find all the information you'll ever need about this one topic. And then they have subcategories. So it's not just IT hardware, but maybe, Tom, it's routers. And right. Another one could be, you know, desktop computers or laptops. So they're breaking it down piece by piece as well.
All right, with all those hallways, I hope it just doesn't turn out like the Haunting of Hill House here. We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. And so what does all this mean to vendors? What can they expect over the next 6 months?
I think you're going to see a lot of change in the way the government buys. Now, in the short term, I think it's a information dump. But in the long term, I think, I know that Tom Sharp, for instance, said that he really wants to put together some kind of vendor report card. Now, what's that mean? He's not quite sure yet. But I think there's going to be a lot more focus on how much agencies are paying for specific topic products and services that are like. So we're not talking about a tank or an airplane, but we are talking about, hey, how much did that computer cost versus another computer at another agency? And if it's such a differential, someone's going to raise their hand and go, no, you can buy it cheaper somewhere else. So I think there's going to be a lot more cost pressure on vendors. I think the vendors will tell you now, Tom, there's already a ton of cost pressure on them. But I think that's going to only increase as the government uses more data. The other piece that I'll point out is, I think GSA is really looking at modernizing their schedules. The contract, the services consolidation contract, where they're going to take something like 6 or 7 different services schedules and merge them into one, that is still happening. And the launch date is somewhere around October, November timeframe. And I think that's the first of what's probably going to be several launches of consolidations of schedule contracts that's coming over the next year.
All right. And while we're on the topic of procurement, you also point out in your column today the Federal Information Technology Reform Act, FITARA, I guess, exists now. And so it's on a listening tour with OMB trying to figure out how they can implement it.
You know, OMB is getting a ton of great, you know, response. There's a lot of kudos for this effort. And I wrote about it about a month ago when I said, you know, FITARA implementation begins. There was a meeting with the CIO Council about a month ago. Over the last month, what OMB has been doing is meeting with former federal officials, and not just former federal IT officials, but CFOs and CHCOs, asking, how do we implement this the best way? How do we implement this that's most effective? And how do we not make the same mistakes as the Clinger-Cohen Act? And I think the difference here is, and I think OMB recognizes this, is Clinger-Cohen took the government to a certain level, and then it kind of petered out in the sense of the spirit and the intent of it. And what OMB is asking these federal officials, many who had to implement Clinger-Cohen, had to live under and work under Clinger-Cohen, said, how do we not make those same mistakes? And I think that is the smart thing to do, and a lot of the people I'm talking to are saying it's the right thing to do. The second piece of this that came out just recently is OMB has put out a management guidance, or I should say a better management alert to CIOs, reminding them that FATARA is law, and guidance is coming. And I also found out, Tom, that the date of that implementation guidance should be out sometime in the spring. So something to look forward to. There was actually a presentation made before the Information Security and Privacy Advisory Board that NIST runs, called the ISPAB, where they kind of lay out more details about the FATARA implementation.
Well, it was a long time in coming, and now it's going to arrive quickly, sounds like.
Well, quickly is all relative, right? You know the guidance is out, and that's under pressure from Congress. And now how long will OMB give till agencies fully implement it? That's the key. Are they going to have a year? Are they going to have 6 months? And I think that's what we'll see in the implementation guidance. In the meantime, speaking of Congress, I did get some comments from Jerry Connolly, who's one of the authors of the FATARA bill. He's now the ranking member over at the Oversight and Government Reform Committee, Subcommittee on Government Operations. And he says, we will be paying attention to this very closely. He said he will be meeting and holding agencies accountable. So I think, you know, the one piece that was missing under Clinger-Cohen was a long time focus from Congress on the implementation. And Connolly is promising that long-time focus, but also so is the Government Accountability Office. Gene Dodaro testified last week during the high-risk list that one of the reasons why IT acquisition was put on the high-risk list this year was because of FATARA, and to ensure it was implemented properly.
All right. Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. As always, thank you so much for that update.
My pleasure.